This is Windows Observer Launch Control. We are just seconds away from the start of the Observe Tech podcast. Stand by for final sequencing and launch. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we have launch of the Observe Tech podcast. Keeping an eye on Windows and other things tech, here is your host, Richard Hay of WindowsObserver.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 125 of the Observe Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Rich Hay from WindowsObserver.com. Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 1st of April, and I promise you no April Fool's jokes on this show today. It's a time of the year, specific day of the month that I just dislike on social media and tech websites because of all the jokes. Many are blatant, and those are great because they are blatant. They're obvious. It's the ones that are more subtle that really impact, I think, the reputation of different sites that play this April Fool's game. So anyway, no April Fool's here. Want to start off by reminding everybody, first off, that we're a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's there, so check out techpodcast.com. Had an interesting social media event occur over the weekend. Back in December, I was on the search for a new web host. I was moving off of the current host I had at the time because I just wasn't happy with the overall service and the performance of the website and stuff. So in the process of searching, I commented on Twitter what I was doing. Well, wouldn't you know, 3 months later, a company decides to respond to my post from back in December, around the 19th of December, and say, hey, you should come check our services out. Now you tell me, would you go check out a company that took 3 months to reply to you on social media? You're definitely doing it wrong if you think that's going to engage customers. Social media is a real-time kind of thing. If you're not doing it real-time, you are definitely doing it wrong. Yesterday, Twitium 2.4 was released by Brandon Paddock from B-Side Software, very popular Twitter app for Windows 8.1. 2.4 brought along several different things, but for pro subscribers specifically, one is push notifications, and the other thing is up to 7 individual accounts could be added to your setup of Twitium if you're a pro subscriber. Now, a lot of people don't like the model that Brandon's using. I think it's great because it should sustain the program down the road. Even if he hits the Twitter token limit, that's his goal in having the pro subscription. I like the idea because every other Twitter app that has hit the Twitter token, what's happened to them? Where have they gone? They've disappeared. So I really do hope and look forward to seeing this push well beyond that. Although I don't think currently Brandon's at all concerned about hitting the Twitter token limit, but as he continues to develop this thing, that was 5 updates in the month of March, by the way, almost just a little more than one per week. And I think as he continues to innovate this and get it upgraded and moving forward, it's going to do extremely, extremely well. So let's get started. The first thing in startup is to remind you that tomorrow starts build out in San Francisco. There are streaming available for most of those sessions, especially the keynotes. It is expected we're going to hear a lot of news out of Microsoft relating to Windows 8.1, relating to the next version of Windows, what everybody's calling Windows 9. Of course, Windows Phone 8.1 is on the docket for discussion as well. And then, of course, all the developer sessions that are going to be going on out there. So if you haven't checked that out yet, be sure you look up what you need to check out. Unfortunately, I'm just wrapping up 4 days off, and I go back to work today, so I'm going to miss out on some of the streaming, but I will be catching up after hours. And, of course, next week's show will probably recap a lot of the news that comes out of Build this week. Spotify is another service that is pulling their support for new apps and desktop clients. So we continue to see services pull themselves into their own business and their own functionality and not sharing that with third parties, kind of like what we've been seeing from Twitter with third-party Twitter apps, which has been the downfall of so many. Amazon's on the move. They are looking for avid video gamers in job descriptions. How would you like to get a job that you are an avid video game player and that's what they're looking to put you employed with? Now, I don't know if the job entails playing games, but it certainly sounds like the truth is coming out related to them developing their own gaming console, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. ARS Technica talked about how malicious apps can really mess up Android phones, do such things as erasing data. There's a lot of research out on that. It's always been a bit of a wild, wild west when it came to Android phones and Android apps and things like that. I mean, you've seen all the stories and heard all the stories about what's been discovered in some of those apps, either tracking you or looking for your information and things of that nature. Malware that's available in the download store. And on the hardware front, did you know the Pebble Watch, the one that's been out for about a year, year and a half, can actually be used with Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8? And there's a post on a Microsoft blog called Secret Microsoft Communications that talks about making that watch work with your Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. It works easily because it's got Android-related apps, but I think someone has developed an app for both platforms, Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8, that will work with the phone. Although there is a new version of the Pebble Watch coming out called Steel. So it'll be interesting to see if they move towards supporting Windows Phone and Windows 8 under that one as well. Batteries and fire hazards. Lenovo has had to do a recall of their ThinkPad, one of their lines, because of fire hazards with the battery. So you want to check out that story from Computer World. If you have a Lenovo ThinkPad, make sure that you are not involved in that recall. As we know, Amazon recently upped the price of their Prime to $99 a year for the two-day shipping and the stream of video. But they are apparently working on an ad-supported video service for those who don't want to subscribe to Prime. So it'll be interesting to see how many people shuffle over to that when it comes out. Roku, the Roku boss, I think I mentioned it last week, Roku has come out with a streaming stick. Kind of similar to the Chromecast, plugs into your HDMI port and gives you all the functionality of a Roku, which I had a Roku and I talked about it over and over again. And it's a great little device. In fact, we used it to stream a lot of Amazon Prime video streaming. But I'm very intrigued by the stick, its compact size and how it will work. So I'm looking forward to getting hold of one of those and giving it a try. But the Roku boss seems to feel like the future of your TV operating system is going to be the Roku software. So it's an interesting read on Recode for that one. And then another story of proof that it just does not pay to violate any copyrights, especially when it comes to MP3 and that type of property. A jury decided that the MP3 Tunes founder must pay $41 million for copyright violations. So that's a big chunk of change for doing that service that was obviously illegal and improper to share those kind of copyrights. On the Microsoft front, lots of big news last week. I mean, huge, massive amounts of news last week out of Microsoft. We saw Satya Nadella do his first public appearance as the CEO of Microsoft, only the third man to do so, or third man to be CEO, that is. And he did a great job. I thought the presentation of Office for iPad went extremely well. It was short, it's succinct, to the point. Showed the apps off, and then they moved on. I bet you it wasn't 25, 30 minutes they were on stage doing the demos, and it was done. So very well done. He's getting a lot of praise for the way he approached things, how he's different from Steve Ballmer, and that's reality. People are different people. But it's really making an impact because the Street wrote about the fact that Microsoft has hit a 52-week high with their stock, and this was just after Office for iPad released. And it looks like they are moving up towards $50 and beyond. So the Microsoft stock is seeing a bit of a renaissance, a resurgence. And I think that excites a lot of people and a lot of shareholders. There was a story this week also that Ballmer talking about, he's kind of been on the talk circuit since he retired as CEO of Microsoft and talking to a lot of different groups and entrepreneurs and things like that, entrepreneurs. And things like that. So latest note was that he's not sure how long he'll stay on the Microsoft board. I believe he is one of the second largest shareholder for Microsoft next to Bill Gates. But so the discussion is he's just not sure how long he will retain that position on the Microsoft board, which surprised some people when he ended up on it when he retired. A lot of thought that he would not. You may have seen last week also that Microsoft gave away MS-DOS. And then, of course, somebody at Wired decided to write a story and said, now they should open source everything else. Are you kidding me? Give me a break. I think it's great that they open source Microsoft DOS, and I think Word for Windows was also open sourced, and there's lots of stories around the web about that. I think it was the Computer Museum they were open sourced through. And good for them doing that. I mean, people get a real insight into those early days at Microsoft, especially within the code, if you know what I mean. Not only did Microsoft also make big announcements last week in Office for iPad, But they also announced their new mobile management system called Enterprise Mobility Suite. So Office for iPad is not the only thing going on around Microsoft right now, and they are really making this push for mobile first, cloud first, which is the phrase that Satya Nadella used last week when he kicked off the Office for iPad announcement. We're going to talk a little bit later about Facebook buying Oculus with the big Kickstarter, the virtual reality Kickstarter. Well, Microsoft did not sit still on that same thing either, but they have bought patents for a virtual reality type of headset for about somewhere between $100 and $150 million. So you get the feeling that maybe there's a push towards that virtual reality type gaming. Microsoft, the big news last week, the week before last on the last show, was all about this email and the IP theft and everything like that. And we talked about a change Microsoft made in their policy regarding searching an email account. Well, this week they've taken it one step further, and now they will not look into any email account when it concerns illegal activity, but they will hand it over to law enforcement officials who will in turn do that search. So they continue to refine that policy. It'll be interesting to see if other companies choose to do the same thing, if they follow suit. There certainly was a lot of people out there poking at Microsoft for what they did and looking in the email account. But guess what? There's not as much coverage of them deciding to take it even one step further to protect that privacy in the future. Which, I'll say it again, I did not have a problem with what they did last week in protecting their IP, but a lot of people did. Looks like Microsoft is losing a longtime veteran of the Windows and Office teams. Antoine LeBlanc is leaving after 25 years. It appears to be a normal departure. It's not related to all the changes that have happened, which were announced yesterday. Satya Nadella wrote an email to all employees at Microsoft and told them about some changes that are going to happen. One, Scott Guthrie, who was the interim executive vice president of Cloud and Enterprise, has now been moved into that position permanently. That is Satya Nadella's old job. Phil Spencer, who has now been led, has been moved to take on leading Xbox, and we'll be reporting to Terry Myerson for that. And then, of course, Stephen Elop, when the closure of the deal between Microsoft and Nokia takes place, he will become head of the devices group, which is the hardware side of the house when it comes to Xbox, Windows Phone, etc. So some more shuffling going on. Satya Nadella continues to tune his leadership team. And some really solid choices based on the reviews and based on the comments from different bloggers and on social media and stuff like that. A lot of people very happy with those choices. One of the things we can expect at Build this week, which again starts tomorrow, is to hear about their One Windows progress. Mary Jo Foley wrote about this just a few days ago. Oh, why is that link not found? I'm not sure what happened to that page. I just clicked on the link to go to the story and it popped up empty. But anyway, Mary Jo Foley wrote about the fact that what she expects to hear, what we expect to hear from Microsoft, probably during a main keynote tomorrow. There is a keynote both Wednesday and Thursday related to just general stuff. I expect one to be Windows Phone. The other should be Windows. We are expecting to see Windows 8.1 hit tomorrow on MSDN, which means it can be downloaded for x86 and x64 systems. And then next Tuesday, it will release across via Patch Tuesday updates on Windows updates for anyone and everyone to download that new update. On the Office front, as I've already mentioned, you've heard the news at Infinitum about Office for iPad, extremely popular, very quickly rose. The three different apps, Word for iPad, Excel for iPad, PowerPoint for iPad, hit the top three spots very, very quickly in less than 24 hours. They've also made the list of top grossing applications, which means people are subscribing to Office 365 through the app on their iPad. Now, that means Apple gets a 30% cut of that. And that was something we thought Microsoft would try to avoid, and it certainly appeared they might be trying to avoid that. But the reality is it looks like they're okay with that, because look what it's done. Very quickly, I think it's in the top 12. Two of them are in the top 12 as far as gross profits or gross earnings, although there's no specific number. So folks have jumped all over this. The press reception, the tech press reception of Office for iPad has been extremely positive, although there's a handful of people who are going to be negative about these kind of things no matter what. One shortfall was the printing capability. Office for iPad is also limited. If you don't have an Office 365 subscription, they are free to download from the App Store, and you can view and display documents and presentations, but you cannot edit them or create them without having an Office 365 subscription. So the Office 365 subscription actually makes a lot of sense if you have a lot of computers. You get it for five devices, five computers, Macs or PCs, plus five tablets. So it's a pretty good deal. And we're expecting to see the release of the Office 365 Personal, which is for one individual on a device and one tablet. So lots of great news for Office, and that is, again, what had a huge, huge bump on the Microsoft stock price this past week and why it's climbed. Let's see. We mentioned already that Microsoft has expanded some of their cloud services for mobile stuff. This week is also the Microsoft Exchange Conference, so there's new news coming out of Office relating to cloud-first, mobile-first communications, the evolution of email, Project Light, which is a cloud-based productivity for team members at $7 per user per month, again, a subscription-based program. And listen, subscription-based programs are reality. They are going to be the future. I said this on Twitter the other day. Office 365 is the future of Office. We aren't going to have these every three-year releases of Office before too long. We might have one more cycle of that. But after that, Office 365 is going to be the way you get Office if you use Office. Whether you be enterprise or whether you be individual user, you are going to get your Office through these subscriptions. I think that might even bleed over to Windows at some point. But the reality of the world is quick turnarounds, quick deliveries of updates, and this subscription-based kind of format. So just keep an eye on that. Excel is going to do an Ask Me Anything on Reddit in 2 days. So on the 4th of April, that'll be Thursday, I think is the date. Nope, today's the first Tuesday, two, three, four, Friday. So if you're interested in asking any questions of the Excel team, you can find that out and go to that. There was an interesting exchange of pleasantries between Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, and Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, about Office coming to iPad and about the productivity that Office for iPad is bringing to users. So they did exchange pleasantries. Again, social media, that's how it kind of goes sometimes. There is a webinar live online now that you can find out about OneNote for Windows and find out more about the new program, the freemium version of OneNote. It's a great app. I use it for my show notes. I use it for all kinds of notes and everything I do because now I have access to them anywhere and everywhere. And I really do like having that. I went to a workshop last year when I was at the MVP Summit, and it really did open my eyes to the capabilities of OneNote. And from that point forward, I have been using it. More information about getting started with Office 365. Windows Azure has been changed to Microsoft Azure. There's a cloud war going on in the pricing between Amazon, between Google, between Microsoft. Cisco's trying to get in the mix. They've apparently served up a $1 billion investment in cloud, so they're trying to get into the game. This is just like the browser wars of the 80s and 90s. This is like the OS wars. This is now the cloud war. Where are you going to get your cloud services? Who's got the best prices? And they are cutting prices left, right, and center in competition with each other. So who benefits from all that? We do. The consumer benefits from these price cuts because we get the services at a less expensive price. And then Dropbox. There was an interesting story floating around Dropbox this week about how they did a DMCA takedown of content that was in someone's personal folder on Dropbox. Well, it turns out the tweets are a little dramatic. Turns out they were sharing that information through a public link, and Dropbox apparently has a process in place to know that you're sharing copyrighted stuff, and they can do it without even looking at things. So there's a great write-up on TechCrunch about their process for doing that. It's not as sinister as it first sounded and first looked, but you know, these companies, you saw the note about the MP3Tunes founder being held accountable for copyright violations. It's a similar thing. Companies are being put on the hook to take care of this stuff and to not fall victim to these types of things, not fall victim, but to not engage in these type of activities. So they're going to do what they can to protect the services and protect the systems. On the security front, It was interesting to see some of the responses to the whole Microsoft Hotmail thing that came out a couple weeks ago when they searched that account because of the IP theft. But of course, Google's general counsel popped out and said, we don't snoop on Gmail to find leakers, and wrote up a post about that. But of course, we all know what they do snoop into Gmail about, and they snoop in Gmail to find out what people are saying so they can target ads to them. Google's admitted that as much last week in court, or the week before in court, when they said they've scanned millions of student email accounts through their Apps for Education program. So it's a little hard to take Gmail on face value when they do this kind of thing, because the one thing they avoid mentioning is the fact that they do snoop into people's email account. They don't do it to find leakers, apparently, according to the story. They do it to find ad targeting information. Interesting note from ZDNet here about stolen Twitter accounts. They're apparently more valuable than credit cards in the hacker world. So make sure you're protecting your accounts, not just Twitter, but all of them. Institute two-factor authentication. Institute hard-to-break passwords, random passwords. Get a password manager so you can randomly create these passwords that are harder to break. Microsoft for Work had a great way on how to protect your social media channels from phishing attacks. There's a really scary post from Microsoft Security Blog about the fact that malware infection rates are more than double than in the first half of last year. So here we are in 2014. We're supposed to be a little more enlightened, but we're being infected at a much higher rate than we have in the past. So it's either people are getting better at it, or people are not paying as much attention and putting too much trust into tools that are supposed to protect us. But we've still got to engage that brain. We still got to engage that gray matter that comes between our ears to protect our information, because you got to engage the brain before you engage the finger. That is a majority of the battle. Software will only get you so far. And then there was a great post from Time on the whole Hotmail privacy case, and the writer in this talked about the 10 things that he knew to be true relating to that case. And the story, which was written by, I'm just waiting on it to come up on the web. Harry McCracken. I should have known that. He talks about 10 different things about what he feels he knows and conclusions he's come to. The first being, you can be sympathetic to Microsoft about the crime apparently committed against it and still unhappy about how it responded. Okay. Just calling the Hotmail user a blogger is misleading. We've had other people who said it was misleading to call him a journalist. And then, of course, his number three thing is calling the person a journalist or reporter is even more misleading. The users were not very smart by using Hotmail and SkyDrive and Windows Live Messenger to do the stealing, to do the IP theft. So not very smart move there either. Not that that makes it okay to do it somewhere else, but you're doing it on their own, on Microsoft's own properties. And what did you expect to happen? He said, number five, we don't know what Microsoft has done in other times this has happened. He said, six, we really don't know what other webmail providers have done in the past. He said it's a tough legal situation, not fully sure he understands it. Of course, everybody has piped in on the legal situation. It certainly appears to me that Microsoft was in the proper legal spot because of their terms of service. Scroogled makes Microsoft look bad, not Google. I thought it was bad that last week compared what Microsoft did to Scroogled, which is two totally separate different things that both the big companies did to look into email accounts. I would say one did it for profit, directly for profit and ads. But, you know, Microsoft did it to protect their profits and to protect their property. But I don't find the two anywhere similar at all. Number nine, he says that it's a great opportunity for somebody to get out there and in front about these providers and what they do and whether or not they impose restrictions, kind of like what Microsoft has done and they announced this week, is that they have imposed further restrictions on how they will do this in the future by calling in law enforcement. Even though they can't get a warrant to search their own servers, they can't call in an outside team to do the investigation for them and not themselves. And then the last thing he says is Microsoft has done us a favor because this has now been highlighted. It's out there in the open. It's being discussed. There's no doubt it's being discussed. And so in the long run, discussions end up improving the situation. All right, on Windows 8.1, lots of stuff out there about 8.1 because of the impending end of support for Windows XP, which is next Tuesday, Patch Tuesday, by the way. And so there's lots of information about security improvements in Windows 8.1, Windows 8.1 deployment. Ed Bott wrote a great post about, called Six Clicks, Weird Tricks That Will Actually Make You Happier with Windows 8.1. So make sure you go check out that. And then a big win for Windows 8.1. The fourth largest school district in California has chosen Windows 8.1 devices for its students. So we continue to see large organizations, large groups decide to switch over to either Office 365, Windows 8.1. Surfaces come up in some of these as well. So, you know, between Office for iPad and these big moves, people who think Microsoft is irrelevant have got their head in a hole in the ground. There is no way that Microsoft is irrelevant, and I think Satya Nadella being named CEO is really helping Microsoft to find a new focus and a new direction without just leaning back on the old standards of Windows and Office and all of that. They are embracing cross-platform. We've talked about that multiple times on this show. They are embracing getting onto those other devices with their products and services. Look at Office for iPad. That's a perfect example. Everybody thought that was done, and look what's happened. Top three spots, top grossing apps. So they are doing it right. So if you're not paying attention, you're not noticing what's really happening when it comes to Microsoft and their services and their products. On the Windows XP front, like I mentioned, we're getting really, really close to that end of support. In fact, today is 7 days. That's no April Fool's joke, by the way. 1 week from today, on next week's Patch Tuesday, when we will get the Windows 8.1 update, Windows XP support stops. Now, and by the way, Office 2003 as well. Now, that doesn't mean, and I've told customers this, this doesn't mean that all of a sudden XP is going to stop working. We're seeing a lot of foot traffic in the store for people buying new systems because they've got XP-based systems, and they're getting that warning thanks to that Patch Tuesday update that was released last month. People are either seeing it or reading the news and things like that. So they're coming in and saying, I got to replace this machine. So the word is getting out there. There's still going to be a lot of folks that don't make this move. It doesn't mean that XP and Office 2003 just stop working next Tuesday, but the vulnerability starts to open up, especially as things get exploited. Let's see. Good question on Into Windows blog about whether you can install Windows 7 or 8.1 on your Windows XP computer. So I thought that was an interesting post to kind of take a look at because a lot of people, the reality is Windows XP hardware is very old hardware. XP's been out for 13 years, almost 13 years. That means hardware, when it first came out before Windows Vista came out, which was 4 years later, I think, is ancient hardware in comparison to today's. And one, people are going to notice a major difference in doing an upgrade. They're going to have such a faster system. But the reality is that old hardware won't run Windows 7 and 8.1 in most situations. I think there will be some unique ones in that stuff that's more recent. But the reality is that experience is not going to be good. And that's not Windows' fault. That's the hardware's fault. So you need to upgrade your hardware if you're sitting on something that old. Another great post on ZDNet about the end of Windows XP is the end of everything we thought we knew about computing. The end of XP is going to change a lot of things because of where it's taken us now with this whole new kind of lay of the land when it comes to form factors, touch devices, and things of that nature. We're seeing more and more devices that are coming out with touch. Even $279 netbook style small screened laptops and other inexpensive laptops are touchscreen now. It's just the reality of the world. And apparently a lot of businesses are still going to be haunted by this Windows XP thing when the deadline hits next week because a lot of them haven't made that move yet. So do yourself and your employees a favor, protect your data, protect them, and get off of Windows XP. At 13 years, this isn't the first time Microsoft announced that Windows XP was going to shut down. It's kind of like all the ATM users and all the banks who have ATMs that run some version of Windows XP. Not the embedded, because embedded is supported until 2016. But if you're running a plain straight stick version of Windows XP on any system and you haven't heeded the warnings that have been coming out, then you are really making poor business decisions. There's no doubt about that. I get personal individuals making a decision to try to keep XP. But as a business, you have a job not only to protect your employees, but you have a job to protect your data and your customers' data. And by being on XP, you are making them vulnerable. So you need to just get off of it and move forward. Okay. off the soapbox. Windows Phone. We're expecting to hear news out of Build this week on Windows Phone. There's questions, you know, after we heard that Microsoft was going to rename Windows Azure to Microsoft Azure, Kip Konerskin over at LiveSide proposed the question whether Windows Phone should be renamed, whether we should get rid of the Windows in front of that somehow. Not sure if that's going to happen. We're certainly going to hear some news this week from Build on Windows Phone 8.1. The rumors are that it's already in the hands of manufacturers and that we'll see new devices later this month. And apparently, sometime next week, late in the week, we are going to see the developer preview of Windows Phone 8.1 get released to all participants in the Windows Phone Developer Preview Program, which is available to most anybody that has a Windows an App Studio membership, which is the web-based version of Build for building apps, and have the app installed on their phone. So, and as long as it's capable of running the 8.1 software. So if it's a Windows Phone 8, you'll probably be just fine. So that'll be interesting to see all that come out next week, as well as the news for this week. Lots of rumors and leaks, but we're looking forward to seeing the real stuff soon. On the app front, across the board, we got Microsoft UK Schools blog. If you don't follow this blog on MSDN, they always have great information. I share a lot of links from them because they have great input stuff. But a new app called My Homework for Windows 8 for helping track your homework is out. New games were released this week. Both Hexic and Star Wars Assault Team were both released across the board. Windows Phone, PCs, and tablets. All three versions, all at the same time. So it's great to continue to see those kind of releases happen. Also great to see Microsoft start to get into the Windows Phone Store in one place and pull fake apps. They've pulled a bunch of fake Google apps from the Windows Phone Store, and I hope this is the beginning of an effort to do the same thing across the board with the fake Facebook apps and all of those types of things that are in there confusing people. They confuse the brands. They confuse the customer who's looking for an app, and it's great to see Microsoft taking proactive steps to do this as well. I want to point out my little favorite app that I found this week was Tiny Planets Pro. Really makes some takes your images and makes very unique images out of them. And the reason it's called Tiny Planets is because the pictures look like tiny planets. And of course, certain pictures work much better than other pictures. So I've had a lot of fun playing with that this past week. And then lastly, in the app world, it looks like a new blog is coming online called Building Apps for Windows. There's no content there yet. It may have been an accident that I saw the link through MSDN. But the site is there, and I expect that to become populated here before too long. On the Xbox front, as I mentioned earlier, lots of personnel changes, and it looks like Phil Spencer is going to take over the Xbox reins, and a lot of people very, very happy about that. Major Nelson announced some new entertainment apps for Xbox One and Xbox 360. Apparently, the price of Xbox One has been cut now. We heard about that through Best Buy and Walmart, dropped it to $450 for the Titanfall bundle. Apparently, now there's offers out there to get you a free copy of Forza 5 with the purchase of the bundle, and the bundle being discounted down to $450. Microsoft has also started working on reputation warnings for Xbox One gamers. So if you're a troll or you're acting inappropriately, you're going to get reputation warnings from them. They've got a new reputation system on Xbox One that impacts the way you get to meet up with people for gaming, random gaming partners. New month means new Xbox Live Gold members games. This month it's Hitman Absolution and Deadlight Free in the month of April, so Major Nelson's got details about that, so you can actually start the download for Hitman today, and then on the 15th you'll be able to start the Deadlight Free. Hopefully you already got last month's. Those dates are already gone. And then, like I mentioned, Phil Spencer taking over Xbox, he said in getting named to the position that gaming will be our core as we take Xbox forward. So remember, there was a lot of heat that Microsoft took over Xbox being focused on quote-unquote entertainment as opposed to being a gaming console. But I think they do a great job at mixing the two together and bringing forward a great product and a great service. On the Surface hardware front, a couple Surface blogs I wanted to point you towards. One is about Surface 2 being the most productive tablet for business. The key reason behind that productivity is the full Microsoft Office suite, Outlook, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and then, of course, the full version of OneNote. Surface also makes it easier and safer to share a device. The fact that any Windows 8.1 device can have multiple user accounts, each user's got their own protected area, their own start screen, their own personalizations that can sync to different devices. So Surface makes that, not only Surface, but Windows 8.1 in general makes that a lot easier. You may have heard that Microsoft, as they started to promote their wireless keyboard adapter, which was announced as an accessory last year when Surface 2 came out and Surface Pro 2, have now decided to discontinue that adapter. And that resulted in Rod Trent writing a great post over at Windows IT Pro that, you know, buying Surface accessories shouldn't be like rummaging through a flea market. It's tough to find stuff. The power cover finally hit the market a couple weeks ago. It's just accessories. This is something, and he points this out, this is something Apple does extremely well. And even Samsung for the Galaxy and things like that, Kindle, they do accessories well. I don't know what's going on with Microsoft in the world of accessories, but they've got to improve that. There's currently one decent option for a case for Surface 2 and Surface Pro, Surface Pro 2. I am on a Kickstarter for the new Freedom Case Kickstarter program, and I'm expecting that to arrive this month, and I'll certainly be sharing that with you and reviewing it with you. But we really do lack for a proper collection of accessories to go with the Surface. And I'd like to see more of that. I really would. As a Surface user, I want to see it be successful. And part of the success of a device is the associated peripherals, the associated accessories that come out for it. Okay, on the social media front, Facebook, did you see the news this week? Okay, if you didn't, it's kind of like missing Office for iPad. Facebook bought virtual reality maker Oculus, which was a Kickstarter company, for $2 billion. And there's tons of news out there about why that's good, why that's bad, why'd they do it. You know, should investors in the Kickstarter program for Oculus that helped to build the device be upset about the fact that they've gotten bought for $2 billion? Because it is a very clear statement on Kickstarter that there is no obligation for them to share profits with you or anything like that. But, you know, they promise to remain independent. They say even after the sale to Facebook that they will. I'm not sure how this is all going to kind of integrate with Facebook and social media. I get it for a gaming console, but I don't get it for social media. So it'll be interesting to see how that moves forward. Now, there was another piece of Facebook news this week, and that was the fact that they hit 1 billion mobile users of the platform. So that's a lot of people using Facebook, no doubt about it. Now, how many of those are active is a big question mark. There was also a very interesting discussion, Facebook going back and forth with a brand who's very upset about the new algorithm in news feeds that's preventing some of their posts from getting as visible as they used to be. I have complained about this on Twitter myself. When I include posts on my Facebook page that don't have a link, they get more views. If I include a link, they rarely get views or only get a few views. So there's no difference between the two posts short of a link, and that is something to do with the way Facebook is choosing what gets presented. And of course, right alongside of all those very poorly performing posts on my Facebook page is the fact, hey, promote this post. And I've experimented with that. And by promoting, it gets in more timelines, you get more views. But I was getting that before this change. And I get revenue as ads and ads as revenue. So, but it's still not a nice thing to go through and not a nice thing to experience. And then on the Twitter side of the social media house, they recently added a feature this week where you can tag people in photos you share on the service. It's an automatic opt-in. They set the setting on for everybody to be allowed to be tagged by others. I did do a blog post on how to opt out of the Twitter photo tagging. So if you do not want people tagging you in photos, you can go and look at that post. And it's a very easy thing to change under settings, security and privacy, and turn that option off. And then one other thing Twitter did that caused a bit of an uproar this past week is they are apparently testing the idea of changing out the retweet button for a share button. Sounds a little Facebookish to me, if you ask me. All right, on the shutdown side of the house, let's wrap this thing up, all right? A few things going on. There is a great post on the Press Freedom Foundation site about lessons for journalists and sources from the Microsoft Blogger privacy issue. GeekWire reported on a unique type of hackathon, and that was for faith-based computer geeks, where they could do, it was called Code for the Kingdom. So people of a like mind when it comes to their faith were able to get together and do some hacking. You know, and hacking always has such a negative term. Somebody on Twitter said that to me when I mentioned this on Twitter. And my point was, it's not hacking is used in this sense as hacking together apps, hacking together functionality and products to get people a better experience with services and devices and things like that. So I just, for me, that hacking word just has such a negative connotation because of its history. But it looked like a great event. Looks like they had a lot of fun and a lot of cool things came out of it. We mentioned already the fact that Microsoft made the source code for DOS and Word for Windows available to the public in the Computer Museum. There's a great post on the Next Web from an Apple engineer that offered a look kind of on the inside of how the iPhone came to be and how the iPhone was created. It certainly looks like we are on the verge of seeing and hearing all the rumors about iPhone 6 and the next version that's coming out, apparently a larger device. But it was interesting to read how that kind of process went. Do you remember the $1 million homepage? That was a guy who funded his college tuition through this site where he sold little bitty blocks, pixel, I forget how big they were, just like 20 pixel by 20 pixel, and it had a million of them on there, and he was able to finance his college tuition. And of course, a lot of people came out, and tried the same thing. Well, interestingly enough, that's been something like 10 years since that happened. And they went and looked at that page, and apparently nearly a quarter of the links that are on there are gone. Now, for me, a quarter over that length of time of sites going bad isn't that bad when you consider it's a million sites. So that's 250,000, give or take, 220,000. So it was just an interesting story, kind of reminiscent. I even tried my hand at it. There's people that came out with the software and plugins for WordPress that would let you create a million dollar homepage type setup. I, of course, tried it, got very little reaction to it, and that I was one of the ones that rotted away. Great post on Microsoft on the issues from Africa about where your old gadgets go. They show how they're dealt with and how they're treated. I know at Best Buy we recycle gadgets. We do that to recover the different materials from them that can be recycled and sold. It's a free service, but of course, you know, it's a free service that comes at a cost. And that's the reality with most anything these days. Scott Hanselman has a great list of productivity tips on his site. You know, speaking of Scott Hanselman, it's a regular mention I make to customers who are fighting with Windows 8 and want to learn more about Windows 8 to go check out Scott's The Missing Windows 8 tutorial videos. And the feedback I get is they are terrific tools for people to help learn their way a little bit around the Windows 8 interface and become more comfortable with it. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I think, that Microsoft announced their new wireless mobile mice, the 1850s. I am expecting a demo unit to arrive sometime soon, so I'm looking forward to giving that a review. This is the one that these are the ones that come in total solid colors, not just highlighted colors. Elon Musk was on 60 Minutes this past weekend here in the U.S., and you can certainly see that interview online at CBS.com, I believe. But he talked about the fact that he thought Tesla would fail. And when asked, why do you continue forward with it when it seemed like it would fail, he said, it certainly seems like things are going to fail, but if you don't move forward, you never know. And so it's a great attitude to have. We, of course, have seen his success with Tesla despite the setbacks with the fires. We've seen his success with SpaceX and launching cargo to the International Space Station and the cool things they're doing with their Grasshopper, their vertical takeoff and landing rocket. So I'm glad he took the steps forward. I'm glad he's doing it because he's inspiring others to do likewise. And that's what we need today. We need people willing to take risks. T-Mobile in the battle. They've recently gotten rid of contracts, and now monthly corporate discounts are going away on T-Mobile. Not sure if that's going to impact companies heavily, but if that's a decent discount, they might move their services. This past week, settlement credits started to roll out for past ebook purchases due to the ebook trial, the price setting trial that went on, and people got different amounts. I heard somebody got nearly $100. I've heard of people getting 47. I got 73 cents, but I guess that just means I don't buy a lot of books. But that has been settled, and that's done and out there. Now, I have one other last call before I wrap up the show, and that's from a listener who came via Facebook. His name's John Montgomery. And he asked me if I do call-outs for help on the show, and I told him I would. So his problem is this. Apparently in Windows 8, you could turn off a mouse, the ability for it to put the computer to sleep or the computer to put the mouse to sleep, because apparently that was causing connectivity issues for people. Well, apparently in Windows 8.1, that feature is gone. You can no longer click on that option on the properties for the mouse. So what he's looking for, does anybody have a workaround? Because he loves his Sculpt Touch mouse, but it keeps kicking offline. Now, I use the Sculpt Touch mouse, and I do have to give it a pretty good shake to wake it up, but it does get going within a couple seconds. So if you know anything about this, hit me up on Twitter, at WinOBS, or, of course, on the Facebook page, and you can comment directly to John about what your idea is and what you, how you might have solved this issue, and I will certainly make sure to highlight that on the next episode and maybe even on the website as a fix to share in general with everybody. We also want to thank everybody. This past week, we went over 1,000 likes on Facebook. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter, as I mentioned, at WinOBS, and our Facebook page is at windowsobserver.dot.com. So we'll see you next week post-build. There'll be lots and lots to talk about, Windows 8.1, Windows of the Future, and, of course, Windows Phone 8.1. But until next week, stay safe on the net and make sure you keep your system up to date. Take care.